So our software is, I hate to use the term AI native, but it is AI is at its core of what we do. It's agentic automation, right? So it's essentially the next step of like robotic process automation is agentic automation. So for us, everything that we do is we, the challenge has been creating agents that are accurate and they don't have hallucinations.
Hey, and welcome to the Momentum Podcast, the show where fintech meets AI. I'm your host, Stan Altschuler, investor, founder, and advisor to some of the world's top hedge funds, asset managers, and data companies. Each week, we'll dive into practical AI strategies to help you cut through the noise, beat data overload, build smarter workflows, and turn your ideas into results. We'll explore everything from AI tools for your daily workflows to building data-driven growth engines for your organizations. Here, you'll discover what's next in finance and how to stay ahead of the curve with AI. Let's dive in. All right. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Momentum Podcast. Today, we have a guest who's very special to me. He's a good friend. We worked together years ago, but it was an amazing experience to work with Leon, and I want to welcome Leon to the show. Leon, why don't you say hi?
Hey, very excited to be here. It's actually my first podcast, so hopefully I don't completely ruin it.
So, why don't you do give us like a quick introduction? Tell us about StreamOS. Tell us about your role. You're head of commercial. What does that mean? Give us a bit of background, kind of like how your journey went, and how you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to bore you with my entire biography, but basically, after the sale of Novus, which I think you're familiar with, I want. I think that you're slightly familiar with Novus. There was the evolution of Novus. It went from an analytics company to more of a data company in the sense that the data was actually more valuable than analytics for a variety of reasons. The top one being that going to pompous hedge fund managers saying, we'll use analytics to make you a better investor wasn't really a good sell because, like,
Hard sell.
I am a gold god and who the hell are you? So, the reason I'm bringing up data is because there was really, I think it's not to go too deep on like, oh, data, 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 but I mean, that was what made Nova special. And that led me to kind of my next venture, which was spinning up the world of DAS, which is a community
That's right.
data execs. And I think tech is huge, but data is a smaller core. And through that community, I actually met StreamOS founder Ajay. Ajay, not surprisingly, also came out of the data space and saw the problem that we're solving at StreamOS, which is financial operations, first and foremost, as just a data problem, which is all it is, right? It's taking data and making sure it matches and going from there. So I started helping Ajay out just unofficially at Oracle desk, you know, be like, oh, this is a really cool product. And the more I got to know him in the product, the more excited I got about it. So about 6 months ago, I was like, Ajay, really love what you're doing. I'd love to help you out. Absolutely. So I came on as head of product to really help scale the products and go past, you know, our first design partners. And we, for the past 6 months, we've been growing the product and the team, and it's been a pretty awesome adventure. And I was pretty clear-eyed and honest about the fact that I've never done GTM before, so it's been a learning
Right.
to say the least, but it's been really fantastic.
But it's probably helped in that setting. It's helped that you're an expert in data and you know the applications of data, you know how people consume data, how important it is to be accurate, especially in the finance field where we are. I find that, you know, people don't really need to understand or feel marketing, you know, innately. Like myself, I'm not a marketing guy at all. And even though I run a marketing agency, Acadia.im, but I understand the workflows and the use cases of the clients whom I serve.
Exactly.
I get that, right? And their clients, right? If you take it a level deeper. And absolutely right. We'll come back to data a little bit later that underpins everything. But maybe can you make this real for us? Like you've mentioned, you operate in the finance sector, right? So you help people with it kind of like instead of a QuickBooks or something like that, right? With their operations and finance. Can you give me a little bit more? What are the pain points, the actual real pain points you're dealing with? And take that all the way through to like how you tie it all together and bring it from data to the end product.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think like financial ops is not a sexy field. Nobody wants to grow up to be a rev ops man, whatever. So what we're really solving is that pain of what happens between when a contract is signed and cash is the door. There's a lot of paper pushing that needs to happen to take a contract and make sure that you actually get paid. So what we're solving is we're not necessarily replacing QuickBooks. What we're doing is connecting all those workflows and executing autonomous. So what that really means, and I'll, to give you like a painful example, right, is imagine you're a data company and you have your contracts are tiered. They're based on API calls. There's usage minimums and also perhaps ref shares that need to happen, right? So this is gnarly contract that somebody needs to understand.
Yeah.
You then need to have potentially a more technical person than you, RevOps manager, pull usage from the database. You then need to pivot it, understand it, right? So it's this whole painful process of just understanding what was consumed in a given month. And that somebody needs to send out the invoice.
Right.
Update their QuickBooks or whatever it may be.
Yes. Follow up. Receivables.
Yeah. Follow up. Where wasn't this paid? Oh, you paid X amount. And it's just a very like painful, menial process that a lot of companies unfortunately have to do. And like, we speak with clients that are like, not naming names, some of these companies that you've definitely heard of. We're like,
oh,
you are like a massively well-known, like, successful company, and then look under the hood and it's like office space of like, I take the rent, this person, and like, so like, it's surprising how painful and inefficient that process still is.
You know, and it's funny you mention it. You know, we do have some clients in common, and the folks that I work with, and I know we're not going to mention any names here, obviously, because people that don't know, like, people in the finance industry are super, super private. And they don't like their names mentioned anywhere. So we're not going to be doing that. But I will say that the clients of yours that I know speak extremely highly of you and the company and like what you've done for them. And that's because you've made their lives easier in that one aspect. They have extremely complex, you know, agreements and contracts. And it is like you say, it's like based on either consumption or usage or what have you, right? The way they structure these contracts is dependent on how much their clients use them. And it is a pain in the butt,
yep.
Right? And so the fact that you help them solve that is awesome. Is there, again, without naming names,
right,
without, you know, pointing to anybody in particular, can you maybe paint a picture of a real life like use case, you know, call him Bob or something, right? That he had a problem with a complicated contract.
Yeah, so I'll give you Bob. The Bob I'm thinking about had, like I mentioned, very complex contracts with rev shares, right? So essentially a reseller in a sense. And then for every bit that you sell, you need to give a certain portion to your partner, and that needs to be tracked so you can understand your profit, how much you've made, et cetera. So they had zero visibility to that prior in the sense of like intra-month, right? The close would happen, month is up. We now need to understand what we made, what we owe. And that process took, I think, 2 weeks. So their close was 2 weeks. And then after they onboarded, that's gotten down to 3 hours, right? So this non-fictional Bob was able to grow the business. The business has been growing rapidly and has been able to scale without need to hire. And additionally, they've been able to evolve their product and change the way things are done. And the tool is very adaptable in the sense of like, hey, we're actually no longer going to be doing bills. We're going to do this credits on Stripe. And that's like, oh, crap, what do we do now? And the fact that the tool is flexible enough to say, not a problem, because just plug it to Stripe and help you reconcile everything there, is like a game changer for them. So
interesting. That's great. That's great color. Yeah, no, I can imagine. So we're going to shift gears just a bit, and I am going to ask you about data and AI in particular and how those two kind of work together. So you've been in this field for a while. Like, you know how technology has changed. We've seen it at Novus and at these new entrants, and now we've seen this huge explosion, Cambrian explosion of AI tools and the myriad of different things, different applications to, there's like an AI toilet flusher now, right? Like there's, everything is going that way. How is it influencing your work, influencing your clients' work? Are you using it? And I ask that knowing full well that clients don't really buy AI, they buy outcomes, they buy what you do with it. But have you been able to use it to maybe streamline your own workflows? Or is it more like an explicit use case that you've developed into the software that your clients can leverage?
Yeah, so our software is, I hate to use the term AI native, but it is, AI is at its core of what we do. It's agentic automation, right? So it's essentially the next step of like robotic process automation is agentic automation. So for us, everything that we do is the challenge has been creating agents that are accurate and they don't have hallucinations, right?
So yes, yes.
That's been and understanding the limitations of AI. So I'll break that down a bit. One, the way we've made sure that the agents are accurate is each single step is handled by a separate agent. So there's an agent that all it does is checks usage. That's all it does. It does nothing else. There's another agent that creates invoices and they're communicating with each other. So it's chained in the way that there's no hallucinations and they've been just beaten into submission in the sense any time that it's unable to pass off to the next agent without complete certainty, it will flag it to the human. So that's one in terms of how we're using AI. I think we are an AI company at its core. The other challenge, and I think that's what we're seeing, and I think, I mean, you're seeing it, but everything is now AI, claims to be AI, it's not. And there's use cases AI are not appropriate, but are being touted as, oh, this is great. Like, you can go on LinkedIn and look and go, great, I made my entire financial model on ChatGPT. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Because like AI is great at a lot of things, but like, I don't know if I had this experience yesterday where I told it not to use M-dashes. And it used like 3 M-dashes. I'm like, how many M-dashes are in this sentence? Like 0. I'm looking at it, it's 3, right? So it can't do a basic.
And then it says, oh, wait, you're right. And still does the same mistake.
But like, so it can't do a basic count. Yet there's company and people that are expecting it to create like complex financial models, run regressions. And you're like, yeah, but it can't do count open parentheses. So like we've handled that in the sense that like, we have agents determining pathways of what action needs to happen, but then the actual computational layer is still done in your code. So it's not.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. So I really like that concept of segmenting your AI agents to just keep them at their core competency and then hand off the really precise work to good old, let's write the code. Let's write, just run the formula. You know,
yeah. Like the formula is written. It's not like it, being like
it's not rocket science.
Pulled up from like thin air by AI, and it's like, oh, I decided to put like an additional flourish here for God knows what reason.
And that's what people don't understand. Like they think that just throw AI in it and it's going to make it better automatically. No, yeah. Sometimes like the good old fashioned formula that you already know just works better without any sort of messing with it. And what you said really, really caught my attention. Like understanding the limitations of it. I think that's what it comes down to, especially in the finance vertical, because like the mainstream AI is just built different from what we need in finance. It's got this like creativity element on purpose, built in on purpose. And when we see it, we see it as a hallucination. Like, what are you doing? And you know, you can make stuff up. But that's a core feature almost of these large language models, because they don't want it to sound robotic. They want it to have this creative feel to them, so that people rank them higher on the leaderboards, right? That's how these things have evolved. And we just can't have that in finance. No, we need, I don't care if it sounds boring, right? Whatever. We need the right numbers. We need the right information. And I think that is where, you know, like StreamOS can really, really differentiate and bring that AI experience, but have the right guardrails so that people can actually develop that trust.
Exactly. And then... I would add
The other thing that, now I'm just going off on a tangent, but I think AI in its current form is still very transactional in the sense of like, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. So it's still reactive. And I like we've pushed for like it to be a lot more proactive and predictive. So what I mean by that is like we view like these ages as employees. And the best employee is somebody who learns what they need to learn and then executes, right? There is an agency there, agent agency. So like AI should be smart enough to actually execute you on your behalf without being prompted. So it needs to be unprompted, but at the same time, controlled, auditable, and all the other words that we need to throw
in. And that's a challenge, right? Because if you, I totally agree with you, by the way, 100%. And if you and my clients are going after this unprompted AI concept and working very, very hard at it, you know, you have to be careful, right? The AI needs to have the right guardrails, or it needs to be smart enough to not create a lot of noise. Because as soon as you, you know, you let it, like, let's say, monitor the markets and, you know, give me any changes, it's going to flood you with a lot of information. And there might be a diamond in the rough where you're not going to see it because of all the noise. How do you handle that? You've mentioned segmentation and keeping the agents to do like one particular task. But what are your thoughts on controlling that noise, but still keeping that proactive?
It's iterative in the sense that like we have a, at least kind of in this like AR space, it's a much bit more of like a simple mandate in the sense like here are the contracts, here's what needs to be built, right? So it's already like it creates a schedule for itself. But on top of that, it will constantly ping you and say, hey, here's what I'm going to do, or here's what I've done. And you need to essentially, like with an employee, train it to be like, this is good. I don't say about this. Don't tell me about this ever again. And this you can just do without telling. So it's like, it's really like, I think we're at a state where like AI can do a lot of cool stuff, but it's like hiring a very bright kid out of college. They have a, like, they have some base knowledge, but they still need to be kind of molded in your image, whatever that image may be.
Yeah. And that's a pretty powerful concept because you're kind of personalizing it as you go, right?
Yeah.
If you give that reinforced learning, that feedback loop, and hopefully it has like enough memory to retain all of that. I've noticed that ChatGPT sometimes falls down. I use AI a lot, and I know they're improving the context windows and all that, but it still falls down in these really long multi-step tasks. But that's kind of the holy grail. Like if you can have this AI analyst that learns your style of work and like you said, oh, you could just do this without even prompting me.
Yeah.
Just, it's fine. And then smart enough to understand, okay, this is more and more like a high risk task. I should alert my human to this. I think that's gonna, you know, that's gonna change the game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how we built it, right? So like our entire interface is purely conversation in the sense that like we have, it's cool. We have the like ability to use classic AI. So like once you digitize all the contracts, you can say, hey, show me all contracts that have a discount. Who's giving the most discounts, right? And that's already powerful in its own right, because otherwise you have to go through like thousands of contracts and be like, Stan keeps on giving crap. Like, goddamn it. But then like the day-to-day is really just truly these agents checking in, like employees. Be like, hey, man, here's what I've done today. Here's where I need help. And just like, what do you want me to do here? So I think we're moving into a world where most tools, like outside of even what we have, will be, they will know what you want to get done. And they will not be like, I need to log into HubSpot and remember to do this. Like, I think those days are like
coming to an end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I wrote a piece with Charles a few weeks ago that basically we argued that this layer of information and the layer of action, taking action, like actually picking up the phone and calling or writing an email that's a thoughtful email, these two layers have been separated historically and are now merging. And what's allowing that to happen is agentic AI, real smart agentic AI, the type of the workflow that you're talking about here. How do you see that changing? So taking just a look at maybe how your company evolves in the future, do you see that? Yeah, and you mentioned you don't compete with QuickBooks, so I still kind of need a QuickBooks. But do you see that kind of eventually taking over the whole QuickBooks. If you don't notice, I would really like for QuickBooks to go away because they're overcharging me on everything. But is there a day where StreamOS takes care of like the whole thing?
Yeah.
The whole thing. Like, yeah, you got my information because you got my contracts. You know all the terms. You're plugged in maybe to my system so you know what clients are using and how much, how often. But you also got client information so you can invoice payables at client.com.
Yep.
Is that going to happen? And then you can just, here, send all these files to my accountant and they're going to file taxes for me, right? Completely automated.
Yeah. I mean, I think like QuickBooks, it doesn't matter what it is, right? But you're still, for a while, you're going to need an ERP, right? That's because compliance is still an issue. You need to have like accounting. So it's
right.
We're trying to say that like wherever your like processes live, yeah, like they, like you don't have to say like great, rip everything out and start afresh. It's just like, it's the connective tissue. And I think, but you know, we're going to get to a point where these tools get better talking to each other, because right now that,
yes,
that gap is because like, well, I have to go to Salesforce and then I have to, right. Oh, and then like Larry sends me spreadsheets and like, that's where like, I mean, that's where our business is. And I think, you know, do I think at some point that will all become much smoother? I hope so. I mean, that's what we're doing. Where's...
And, you know, just to start wrapping this up a little bit, what are you most excited about in this journey? It doesn't have to be kind of work-related. It could literally be like a personal thing. What gets you like really, really excited these days? What are you most pumped about?
Honestly, it's going to be such a cheesy answer, but like...
It's okay.
It's just the kind of the learning. It's evolving so fast, and you're just like... I think the pace of learning is also accelerating, which as you get older, kind of naturally become dumber and learn less.
Yeah.
And so I'm just excited about how, like, how much I'm forced to learn and how quick it, like, all of those, which is, yeah.
And do you have any like favorite outlets where you do learn that you want to share with the viewers? Any newsletters that are particularly useful to you, especially like when it comes to this new technology and AI, any like your standard go-tos?
So this is, honestly, Perplexity. I have, I have a Perplexity prompt that every single week I'm like, it knows exactly what I want. And it's like, I've trained this to the point of, I'm like, all right, you need to compile for me a digest of everything that was published in the past week on Thomas XYZ. And I also, like, it's going back to like the reiteration of training, and I've trained it where like I actually like created a grading system.
Ooh.
Where I was like, this is a deep, like, this is garbage. This is BS. So it like, it's now essentially like, it just a powerful, like, I've almost created a personalized newsletter.
Personalized it.
Yeah. That's for me, and it's a digest. So it's like, you know, I mean, I think the brief, whatever, like, what's that one newsletter that was like the original one that was like a summary of everything going on?
What? The roll up?
Not the roll up. I'm blanking on the name, but essentially, like, you can create like a personalized version. That's what I've done, and like, it's super helpful for me every single.
So would you be willing to share in the description the prompt with our viewers, or is it kind of something you want to keep for yourself?
It's not necessarily, because there's not one prompt. That's what I'm saying, is because it's been I've been iterating it it started very simply of like, show me, like, it was like, started with competitor research, and then from there it's like, well, actually show me like releases, so like, and you add like new sources that it may not have looked at, that I said like, hey, I also saw this. So it's been just like, it's been iterative, but essentially...
Don't miss that source. It's particular to you. It's very personalized.
So, like, it's not, like, one, like, long prompt that I was like, do this for me. Like, it was, like, it started, I was like, okay, good. And then next week, I was like, great. And then I think it was, like, a month in where I was like, how would you grade these? And I was like, here's how I grade it. And, like, it's gotten better.
I love that. I love that use case. Thank you for sharing that. So, just to wrap it up and close it off, what would be the one thing you would like to tell all of your prospects out there, like potential, all the data companies, all the fintechs that could potentially be, you know, working with you guys and getting help? What is it that they're missing? Where's the gap in their knowledge? Can you help fill that? What would you kind of yell at them with a loudspeaker?
Yeah, I mean, this is not even like a sales pitch. It's more like AI can do a lot of things, but really be cognizant of what it can't do. And then also just make sure that whatever tool you're using is actually moving you forward. And what I mean by that is not just another like, because every tool now is like, oh, we have AI. No, you have like a Clippy. Don't. That's not AI, right? So like, it's be a bit more informed as you're using, like, as you're trying to, because everybody's trying to automate.
Yep.
And then the other thing is that, like, so I went to the FATE conference this week in New York, the Finance and Accounting Tech Expo, which is thrilling.
It sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Absolute thrill.
But there's a lot of people who are like, oh, well, we need to, like, even like what you just said, like, oh, I hate QuickBooks. At a certain point, I need to get rid of QuickBooks. Like, use AI for that. Like, there's, surprisingly, I haven't found, like, my AI migration. I've gone through, like, switching CRMs, and it was, like, a painful mapping. It was, that's brutal. And, like, if you're going down that path, definitely use AI for that, because that's what it's good for.
That's great advice. Great advice. And there's so much hype out there right now, and many legitimate companies using AI, and maybe some, maybe not so legitimate, but just like surfing this wave, you know, and just throwing AI at you everywhere. It's hard to tell what's what. And I think, like, the way I tell my clients is, don't focus on the actual AI or the technology even. Focus on the outcomes. Focus on the outcomes. Where's the pain point? Let them draw a direct parallel between where you are today and where you're going to be. And if it doesn't do that, it could be the fanciest, the best model, the flashy new AI. It's not useful for you. Like, it's not going to change anything for you. So why even give it attention and time? You know, a lot of FOMO.
No, I think you've said it a lot better than I did. Yeah, I fully agree.
Love it. Leon, such a pleasure having you on Momentum. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. And we're going to have some links to Leon's company, as well as a few other things in the description. So click subscribe and come again soon.
Beautiful. Thanks, Dan.
Bye, Leon.
All right.
Thanks for tuning into Momentum. If you found today's episode valuable, don't forget to follow the show and share it with your network. This helps us a lot. To explore how AI can help your firm, visit acadia.im. I'm Stan Altschuler, and I'll see you next week with more practical insights to help turn data into growth and decisions into results with the help of AI.